Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Hey everybody, hope you guys are doing well. Merry Christmas. I can't believe that it's already Christmas Eve. So I wanted to talk to you really quickly about part of the Christmas story that kind of jumped out of the pages to me this year. When I'm reading the Bible, especially when I'm studying for teaching, I will read through passages over and over, and whatever just kind of sticks in my mind, I'll sleep on it, I'll pray it through, and if a couple days later that passage is still in my mind, then I start to believe that that's God wanting me to look further into those passages. And what popped out to me this year was interesting, because it's a part of the story that I would normally just kind of skim through or even skip. The part that stuck out to me were the genealogies. In Matthew 1 and in Luke 3, there's a genealogy section, and it's kind of boring, you know, and so I would skip it. Yes, I know, this person was this person's father, and this person was this person's son, and I don't think much of it, but as I started studying and started praying through, two things kind of popped out. One, I noticed again that the genealogies were completely different. One goes all the way back to Adam, but the names are different. The people are different. And so I think to myself, how can that be? Because the Bible should have consistency. It should be the same. It's the same story, right? How can I trust the Bible if there's inconsistencies? And so as I continued to study, I was reminded that the two genealogies, there are different scholars that say, a lot of scholars say now, that the two genealogies are actually, one is Mary and one is Joseph. As we know, the story goes that that Mary was a virgin and she was miraculously conceived Jesus by God the Father, and Joseph was going to be her husband, right? They weren't even married yet. And so the fact that Jesus would have been recognized through his earthly father, God had to set it up in a way to where the genealogy worked with Joseph, but just so that there couldn't be any naysayers, he also made sure that it worked through Mary. You see, both of them were from the Davidic lineage, and in Old Testament prophecy, the Messiah had to come from the lineage of King David. And they both lined up, and which means, yes, they were related at some point, but this is generations and generations down the line. And so that wasn't abnormal at all. And so I thought about that, and I thought, wow, how redundant is God? He makes sure that everything, every T is crossed and every I is dotted. The other thing that popped out to me that really stuck out to me and I thought was interesting was the list of names. I started reading through each name, and I started thinking about especially the most familiar names and the lives that they lived. Adam is mentioned, and we know that Adam was the first man ever created, and we also know that Adam was the first person to, Adam and Eve were both the first people to sin, and that's where sin came into this world. And you think, man, Adam was kind of messed things up, but yet he's part of the story. Right? Noah was in the list, right? Noah, who was a very righteous man, he built this ark, and God told him to build an ark, so he built it, and then the whole earth flooded, and his family and all the animals were saved. But then afterwards, after being on this boat with his family, he must have went nuts, you find Noah, and he's drunk and naked in a tent. And you see the imperfection, but yet he's still part of the story. You go on to a man named Abraham, who is a huge part of God's story. In fact, it was Abraham to whom God gave this promise that all nations on earth would be blessed through him. And Abraham was righteous. He obeyed God, but he also made mistakes. He lied about his wife, saying that she was his sister, just to save his own skin, right? And then you have Jacob, who's Abraham's grandson, who was a cheater, conniver. He actually cheated his older brother out of his birthright, but yet he's part of the story, right? And then you have King David himself, who was a warrior, a king, a righteous man, but he made a huge mistake. He ended up taking somebody else's wife, and because he was in authority, he put her husband out on the front lines of the battlefield to be killed. And he suffered greatly for that. He lost a son over that. And yet he's part of the story. His son Solomon has all kinds of issues, part of the story. And all these different people, some good, some bad, it made me think about our own lives. And it made me think about the fact that we are actually part of the story. The story's not over. The movie is still going, right? When you're at the movies, you don't just walk out in the middle if it's a good movie, if you're into the storyline. Well, this is a pretty cool movie that we're a part of. So why would we walk out on it? Why would we say, hey, I'm not a part of that? Especially when we know that your cameo is coming up because you're part of the story. You are part of it. And that's because of this gift that Jesus is to us. God looked down upon the earth and said, you know what? I'm going to send my son to live and to be perfect and to be God himself and to be part of me, an extension of me, and to die and take every single sin so that I could continue this going forward. And I could be a part of, I could allow these people to be a part of my story. It says in Revelation that God is meant to dwell among the men, that he wants to be with us and he wants to be with you. And we have that through Jesus, through this miraculous Savior. And so when you read the stories and think about them, maybe talk to your kids tonight before they go to bed and tell them the real true reason for this season. It's about Jesus. Tell them and remind them that they are also part of the story, right? And so are you. Love you guys. Merry Christmas.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Y'all look good today. Got your Sunday best on. Yeah, we got scarves on, huh? Yeah, yours looks just like mine. We want to welcome everybody on live stream. We love all you out there, all our different campuses, Tehachapi, Northwest. We love you guys in Vegas and Thousand Oaks people. We love you all. And so today I want to share something on my heart that goes right along with what Josh was talking about. Let's pray. Father God, anoint this and bless it. Make it more than what it would be otherwise. In Jesus' name, everybody can say, God has a plan for your life. See, some of you don't know that. God brought you here today to tell you that God has a plan for your life. Now, the genealogies, as Josh spoke about, they showed us that God wants all of us to be a part of something that's bigger than us. We're to be a part. We're to play a role. When you look at these genealogies, as Josh referred to them, there was a lot of imperfect people in these genealogies. They were far from perfect. See, Jesus came to this earth to what? He came for many things, to die for our sins. He came to become our Savior, but he also came to point us toward God the Father. And as in the genealogy, so are we to be a part of that truth. We're to be a part of the Christmas story today. We're to show the people the way to God. Do you get it? Do you really get it? Your marriage is supposed to show people the way to God. Your marriage is to be something that points to God. The only way I could have this great marriage today is because of God. Around here, we teach something a lot, that Jesus came to be our Savior. What does a Savior do? He goes around saving people. But he can't be our Savior if he's not our Lord. We have to listen to him and do what he tells us to do. And when we do, he keeps saving us from all kinds of things. He saved my marriage. And I want to use that testimony to point people toward God. Having kids, there's a purpose to having kids. You're having kids so you can train them up in the ways of God. And then as the Bible says, like arrows in a quiver, you shoot them out into the world and they go out there and they point people toward God. You mothers and dads need to see that. There's a purpose in church. We come together and we're all little parts of a big, big plan. And we put everything together, our resources and everything, and we pray together, and we're to show Bakersfield the reality of Jesus. Now, the Bible refers to people without God as being lost. And today, we got a lot of lost people around us. They don't know the purpose of marriage. They don't know the purpose of their career. They don't know the purpose of having kids. They don't know the purpose of going to church. But he's here to show us that we know the purpose. And then once we know it, we share it with other people. Now, we're to be signs. See, the definition of a sign, gave it a working definition. And the working definition of sign is something that communicates valuable information. If you're on a hiking path, taking a hike, sometimes they put signs out and it says like 4 more miles to your destination, 2 more miles to a spring where you can get water. See, those are important messages and they're on signs. When you're on the freeway, there's signs with important information on them. When you go to a store to shop, there's usually a sign in the window that gives you important information about when they open and when they close. Now, as a sign, we need to make sure that we're articulated, that we are educated in the Word of God, that we're able to communicate simple truths. Now, this week, I was on BuzzFeed. I know, forgive me. And I saw some signs that kind of puzzled me. Take a look at these signs, see if they puzzle you as much as they did me. Here's the first one. See, it's black, and that really puzzled me. That I couldn't see that sign. Now, obviously, the back room is having a problem with my signs. Well, I guess we'll move on. You won't be able to see these signs. But I thought they were interesting because one sign said, it was out in front of a fast food place, said, buy your hamburger for the price of 2 and get the second one free. Somebody messed up. And another was a house sign out in front of a house for sale, and it had at the bottom, this house is not haunted. Well, what would make me think that? That sign's really got me to thinking now. And another one says, I'm for sale homing pigeon. This is the 22nd time I'm selling it because it keeps coming home. And there were other signs that we'll be able to see maybe in the second service that really confused me. Now, on a regular basis, boy, they're really having problems in the back room. We got all kinds of stuff going off today. We did have a power outage today, and maybe that has something to do with it. But on a regular basis, we should be pointing people to Christ. That's our job. That's our purpose on this earth. If you're not about purpose, then maybe when we baptize you, we'll just hold you under and send you home to meet Jesus. If you don't get in with a purpose, you know, well, I'm being baptized so I can go to heaven. We'll just make it a lot easier, okay, right here, right now. In all the trials we experience, we're to show the world our God. Now, I believe there's 2 reasons why Christians are not doing this today. The first reason is they have not discovered yet the blessings that God has for them. So many Christians are not walking in the blessings of God. I mean, it's unbelievable. Once you get trained to walk with God the way we train people here at VBF, and you get trained in the way you can hear God's voice, and we train you in how to have your prayers answered, when you get all this going, man, you can't help but share the gospel. You can't help but wanting other people to have what you have. I mean, it's 24/7 this week, no joke. And this happens. I mean, my walk with God is 24/7. This week, I was talking to Debbie, and I said, Debbie, I'm just getting old. And I'm not kidding. Within 3 seconds of those words going out, my brother over here sent me a message. You know what it said? It said, you're not getting old, Pastor. And he sent me a verse that even in your old age, you're going to flourish and you're going to be green. And I mean, stuff like that happens all the time. You can call it coincidence. I don't. I think it's just evidences that I'm walking with God. I've said it many times, doesn't bear repeating, but this is the most exciting life I've ever had. If you're a Christian and you do not see all of this excitement and adventure going on around you, then you're not living it right. You're not living it right. We are still part of the church in the book of Acts, and it says they went around with a spirit of awe. Secondly, the reason we don't show people Jesus, the reason we're not quick to go out there and share our faith is because a lot of us feel too unworthy to engage people with the gospel. And I talk about that a lot here because it's such a big problem. See, you're a part of the plan to show the world Jesus. And in the genealogies, you see, there's a lot of imperfect people in those genealogies. Take, for example, Jacob. Jacob was a patriarch of the Old Testament. You know Jacob, you know what I'm talking about. The son of Isaac and the grandson of Abraham. You know the two guys that gave their wife away to other men? You know those guys? They weren't perfect neither. None of them were perfect. I mean, you know, Jacob, he was greatly used by God, but also he was a man who was a long way from perfect. Max Lucado is one of my favorite authors, and he has a book called God Never Gives Up on You. And he describes Jacob this way. So Jacob was a patriarch of the Old Testament, but in the team photo with the other patriarchs, he looks out of place. He's the only guy with sunglasses on and a sun visor. He just doesn't fit. But God chose him. This should give all of us hope. God chose harlots. He chose gangster-type people. He chose misfits. And he chose them all to be a part of his perfect plan. But Jacob was stubborn, like some of you today. God had to break him. And God did break him. I mean, very often what God did with Jacob, he does with some of us who are stubborn and bullheaded. He brings them to a place where they can't walk without help. See, Jacob wrestled with God. And I think that was a depiction of what he did for most of his earlier years. He wrestled with God, until one day he became crippled in the process of wrestling, and he had to walk with a limp for the rest of his life. Maybe he used a cane, I don't know. Maybe he used a crutch. Maybe they had walkers in those days, I don't know. But he needed help from God to walk in a right-on way. Let me ask you a question. For those Christians out there today that are on their journey growing in Christ, can I ask you a question? What is it that makes you limp? What is it that makes you need God daily? You get up in the morning and you go, God, I need you. God, I can't make it today without you. See, the Bible says we all have a sin that easily besets us. And God doesn't even want to take those things away right away. He wants you to work through them. He allows those things to stay in our lives so we can go to the altar every morning and get the strength to live in that particular day. I had a man of God once ask me, he says, pray for me right now that God will take this lustful thing away from me and I can be the best pastor ever. And I said, God doesn't want to take it from you right now. He wants to keep you at the altar every day. And he wants you to get his strength so you can be victorious for that day. See, we look at Jacob's life. He lived for 147 years. But the story we see of him in the Bible is just a 20-year glimpse of who he was. It was just a 20-year shot. It was a photo taken out of the album. See, I'm telling you, so often we judge people by a snapshot. We look at the life of David, And God said, I'm going to lift this part of David's story out, a man after my own heart, by the way. I'm going to lift it out and share it with you so you can learn from it. But was David an adulterer? No, he was not. Was David a murderer? No, he was not. Did he kill someone? Yes. Did he commit adultery? Yes. But that was not who he was. It was a season of his life where he was weak and he fell. And we judge people like that. We see people of God that fail and we judge them and put a mark on their life and we cancel them, cancel them out. And by doing so, we're the loser. See, someone said people's biographies should really begin with death and not birth. God brought you here to give you a rhema today. What is it? He can still use you. He can still use you. You haven't went too far. God wants to use you. I don't care if you're 90 years old. God still wants to use you. I don't care what walk of life you come from. God wants to use you. We did a funeral, my brother and friend, Steve Humicky, the other day. And they asked me to do an altar call, and 7 people got saved at the funeral. But I went out, and I said, you dads and you moms, it's time to get right with God. Your kids are counting on you to get it right. Your family's counting on you to get it right. You young people, you all have an older person living way down inside of you, and that older person saying, please get it right. Today, I'm in such a blessed area of my life. I'm blessed on the right and blessed on the left. I'm blessed with health. I'm blessed with no financial burdens. I'm blessed with all this stuff. But you know what? That old man went out when I was young and said, man, I'm counting on you to get it right. Max Lucado says, is it well, when he said Jacob and his family was highly dysfunctional. He said a therapist could have paid for their kids' college tuition by counseling this group. And probably could have. See, God's greatest people in the Bible were away from perfect, and so are we. But God still wants to use us on this earth. He wants us to be a part of his plan. Tomorrow's Christmas. I mean, it's a great day of the year. And many of you are going to receive some cool gifts, and you're going to give cool gifts. But if you don't know Christ, the very best gift you could give your family is a new you. I want to encourage you, as I put this message to an end, I want to encourage you to receive 3 gifts that God wants to give you this Christmas. And the first gift is, he wants to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at Luke 11:13. It says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit. It's too mind-boggling to even comprehend. But you can leave here today. If you've never been born again twice, if you've never given your life to God, it's a mind-boggling thought to believe that you can actually walk out of these doors in a few minutes totally a different person than came in. You can actually walk out of this door today with the Holy Spirit living in your body. And as a result, you know what? Automatically, you're going to start thinking differently. Automatically, you're going to start feeling differently. Automatically, you're going to start seeing life in a way that you never saw it before. It's nothing short of mind-boggling. And you could leave here today with the Holy Spirit living in you. The second gift God wants to give you this Christmas is a gift of forgiveness for all your sins. It's time to bury the past. Apostle Paul said it well. I forget what lies behind. I reach forward to what lies ahead. See, some of you need to bury your past. And when God buries it, man, it's buried. Selma Hayek put a video out years ago, and I love to play it, but I can't today because it'll knock us off the internet. But it's called Own Your Mistakes. I'll put my own little thing to this. She said it kind of in this way. She said, you did something wrong. Don't let anyone take your mistake and hold it against you. It's your mistake. It's not their mistake. Put it back in their face and say, yes, I made a mistake. So what? So what? I will use it to make me a better person. You have your mistakes, I have my mistakes. Don't you throw your mistake in my face. Don't you judge me for my mistake. So what? So what? I did it. And now I'm going to get forgiveness and I'm going to move on. And how dare you put that in my face again? It's time for some of you to raise, lift your head up and walk as if you were really a forgiven person. And when we dunk you in the tank out there, I'll tell you what, we'll wash your past away. And when I baptize people, I tell them, I say, you're going to become a new person today in symbolism through baptism. And I said, don't you ever let anybody hold a sin over your head behind this day ever, ever again. Because if God has forgiven you, you even have to forgive yourself because you don't belong to yourself. And number three, last, let God give you the gift of his plan for your life. I saw Rick Warren give a message years ago, and he says, when Jesus messes up your plans. See, when Jesus comes into your life, he messes up your plans very often. But you know what? It's okay. You know why? Because he's got a better plan. It's better than your plans. See, the Pharisees, they planned on being the dominant religion of the day, but God had a different plan. He had something new and fresh. The shepherds, they may have had a plan of having a kickback night, going to bed early, and having a peaceful, you know, campfire discussion, but that wasn't God's plan. He had another plan. Mary, as we saw in our video this morning, she may have had plans from her even her younger years of having a traditional wedding and a traditional honeymoon like all the other Jewish girls, but God had a different plan. God messed up Joseph's plans totally and completely. I had plans. I wanted to be an attorney. I wanted to be a criminal attorney. I wanted to make the big bucks, work 8 to 5, but you know what? God had a different plan. And his plan was better than my plan. You say, but Ron, how do I find God's plan? Give your life to God today. You leave here, and he'll make his plan known to you. Look at Psalms 81:13. It says, Psalms 81:13. Boy, I'll tell you, okay now, all right. Oh, that my people would listen to me. Oh, that Israel would follow me, walking in my paths. Proverbs 16:33, we may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. You say, but Ron, I messed up God's plan for my life. God's plan was for me to be married to one woman. And you know what? I divorced her. And now my kids don't live with me. And it seems like everything that was God's plan is not working anymore. You know what? Come to God, and he'll erase those plans, and he'll give you a second plan. But what if I blow that one? Erase it. God will give you another plan because he causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And he'll keep giving you plans. No one here today has wasted their life. Today is a new start. It's a new chapter. Well, I'm going to give you a chance to do the most radical thing you've ever done in your life before this service is over. I'm going to give you a chance to give your life to God and leave here as a different person. It'll be mind-boggling. Before we do that, I looked at the worship team and the crew backstage, and I said, you know what? This is all about Jesus today. I'm going to have the worship team come out. And it's a time in service where let's love him. So often Christmas becomes a birthday party where the person that is having the birthday is ignored. I've asked the band to sing a song that is not a Christmas song, but it's a worship song to our Father and our Lord. And I think we need to stand up and let him know it's about him today. So let's stand up, and they're going to lead us in a song, and I'm going to come back, And I'm going to give you a chance to, after you've thought about what I said, to let you respond if you want to. Didn't that just feel right? Felt right, didn't it? To give Him praise and Him glory. Now, some of you have had time to think about what I said. You want to give your life to God today? Give your kids and your family the best present they've ever received. If that's you and you're here today, I'm not going to embarrass you. But I'm going to ask you to do something very bold, to raise your hand and say, you know what? I admit I need God. I did this 50 years ago. My wife got a new me. I was ruining our marriage. I was ruining our children. And today, my children are all in ministry. But I had to change. I had to change. So if you're here today, you've never given your life to God and you really want to, I want you to raise your hand very boldly and unashamedly. Raise it. Raise it up high where God can see it. Don't be ashamed. Yes. Yes. Okay, raise it high. Raise it high. God bless you. Over here, everywhere. Raise it high. On the internet, if you're watching, just go by your computer and raise your hand. God will see it. And now you have to believe in the prayer. You have to believe in this prayer. After you pray this, you start going to church, get a Bible, start reading it, start walking with God, and He'll do all the rest. So I'm going to pray. Everybody pray with me. Everybody say, Lord God, forgive me for all of my sins and save me today. Send your Holy Spirit. Come and live in my body and be with me. I'm giving my life to you. When I leave here today, my life no longer belongs to me. It belongs to you. Thank you for making me your kid. Let the journey begin. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I really encourage you to come back tonight. It's going to be a whole different service. But right now, we're going to look at a plus one. This is the most giving church I've ever been acquainted with. Well, it's the only church I've been acquainted with, period. But what a giving church. So let's take a look at this plus one. And if you can stay with us about another 15, 16 minutes, we'll be getting you home. But take a look at this plus one video.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.